not clubbing, but being outside the clubs and preaching the word of God. And to see the way that the Holy Spirit was moving around Bedford was absolutely amazing to see. God is working. And we've done it 3 times now, and it's gotten quieter and quieter in the town each time. And more people have become more receptive to the word of God. So it's been absolutely fantastic to see. Thank you guys for your amazing work as well. We praise God. Hopefully it continues to plant those seeds into people's hearts and see them flourish. Amen. Amen. Thank you. And this: if the owner of the house had known at what time of night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have let his house be broken into. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him.
Hello, everyone. Good morning. Thank you very much, Harry, for reading that. So, as you might have gathered, today's reading is Matthew 24. And it's about readiness. And I think all of us have to be prepared and vigilant and keeping watch, as it says from 42 onwards. When it comes to readiness, I think all of us have experienced something in our lives where we've either not been ready or we've tried to leave the readiness until the last minute. I've definitely done that before in my life. I can remember, I wasn't amazing at school, so when it came to things like studying and stuff, I kind of left them last minute, and then when the test will come, then I'll be like, oh my goodness, I forgot to do all my revision. And I'd do all my revision, and luckily I got C's, but I could have done a lot better in life if I did much more revision. To be honest, I remember I really enjoyed drama as a kid, and I would love memorizing my scripts. There was a time where I felt like the script was given a little. We had to construct a script together, and the other member of my group waited for the last minute to give me the script, and I sort of didn't read it properly as well, and so I left it last minute. And then when it came to it, there was a time in the little act that we did where, fortunately, someone was meant to be passed away and stuff like that. And I was meant to sort of console this person, but then also tell them to leave and go home. And the line just left my head, and it just blurted out of my mouth, "Leave, she's dead." And the whole class burst out laughing. And I gotta admit, it was good for the laughter, but my teacher was not very impressed with me. So there are many times in life where we should be prepared and do the work before the thing comes. So in Matthew 24, Jesus is on the Mount of Olives with his disciples. And I always wondered to myself, if I had the opportunity to sit down with Jesus, what would I ask him? Would I ask him, "Hey, after the, you know, you fed the 5,000, did people like follow you around and like ask for free food all the time? Or can you turn this into like..." Or, you know, what questions would you ask Jesus at this point? But the disciples had many opportunities throughout, the ministry to ask him questions. But at this point, they ask him 3 questions. They ask him, when will the temple fall? They ask him, what will be the signs of your coming? And they also ask him, what will be the signs of the end of age? And Jesus gives answers to all these things. And in reading it, I think I find it sometimes hard to decipher where certain things lay answering some of those questions. But he says, the morality of people, people become wicked. There will be wars. There will be rumors of wars. There will be famines. There will be earthquakes. There will be many different things. And, as we look at the world nowadays, we see loads of different things happening. In fact, recently, I think it was Trump who said something that he's elected by Jesus to bring about the Armageddon or something like that, which is crazy to hear. You know, it's just a world, crazy world that we live in right now. But in Jesus telling his disciples all these different things, the point wasn't, hey, these things will happen, and just be worried because, you know, things are going to get crazy. He wasn't saying that. He was laying them out so that they could be ready, that they know these things and keep watch for when his second coming will be. The question is, what does keeping watch look like? Like, what does being ready look like in your own life? I truly don't believe that keeping watch when Jesus was talking about keeping watch meant, hey, you should delve into all conspiracy theories and see if Jesus is going to come back at this time or predict this, because, you know, there are hundreds of people that have done that unsuccessfully. And as the reading that Harry read, no one knows the time of Jesus' return. No one knows the time, not even the angels. I mean, the angels must be up there going, okay, how long until Jesus is coming back? Like, he said he's going to go down. It's been a few minutes, but it's been thousands and thousands of years for them. Do you know what I mean? That no one knows the time in which that Jesus comes back. So there's no point looking at things and being like, okay, well, it seems like it's going to be this year that Jesus is coming back. That's not what Jesus is talking about when he talks about readiness. Also, the question is, if you knew about a deadline, like if you knew something was coming up, say if you knew that Jesus was to come back tomorrow at 12 o'clock, how would that change your life? Do you think that you would sit there and be like, oh, well, he's coming back, so I'm all good, I'm just going to kick my feet up and watch everything happen? Or would you really delve deeper into your relationship with God? Would you confess all the things that you felt bad about in your life? Or would you just sit there, like I said, and just kick your feet up? I think that would completely change our lives. You know, that would completely change the way that we live our lives. I mean, if you knew that, you know, the things were short for your own life, you would live your life differently, right? You know, if you were given like a diagnosis, you'd seek to reconcile with the people around you, or to, you know, just live a different life. And that's the type of readiness that we need that day to day in expecting Jesus' return. So I'm going to read 42 to 44 again, but I'm going to have a little crowd participation here. When I say keep watch, I'd like you to repeat keep watch. When I say be ready, I'd like you to repeat be ready. Can we do that? Yeah? So therefore, keep watch. Because you do not know on what day the Lord will come. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known what time of the night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch. And would not have let this house be broken into. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. Now let's read on. Who then is faithful and who is the faithful and wise servant, whom the master has put in charge of the servants in his household, giving them their food at the proper time? It will be good for the servant whose master finds him doing so when he returns. Truly I tell you, he will put him in charge of all his possessions. But suppose the servant is wicked and says to himself, my master is staying away a long time, and he begins to beat his fellow servants and eat and drink with drunkards. The master of the servant will come one day that he does not expect him, and at that hour he is not aware. He will cut him into pieces and assign him into a place of hypocrites, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. See, Jesus wants you to be ready for his return. In a second, we're going to go delve deeper and into what I've just read. But in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, it says, "Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour." The question is, if you are out on a safari, do you think you would, in the plains of Africa, do you think you would just walk around willy-nilly, be on your phone, not really paying attention to your surroundings, and, just being really casual about walking through the safari, or would you just be vigilant? Would you be looking out for any, predators or any lions? I mean, we've all watched like a wildlife show, and a lion doesn't go looking for the one that's really vigilant and keeping watch for the rest of the group. In a pack of whatever you say antelope or something like that, the lion always goes for the one that's weakest or the smallest one, and he aims to devour one of those and capture one of those. And that's what we need to be wary of, because he's looking for weakness in us, if you know what I mean. So we need to be able to highlight our vulnerable where we're vulnerable in our own lives. And for me, that might be sometimes I feel vulnerable and I don't have my glasses and I'm not reading properly. But the vulnerability might be in sickness in our life, or when we're feeling stressed, or when we're even just casually being entertained by something. Do you know what I mean? We're not paying attention. Or we've been distracted by our fleshly desires. You know, these are times when we're vulnerable. We must stay vigilant, as we do not know the return of the day of his return. Not even the angels do. Okay, so in reading verses 45 to 51, I have some questions. So it says, "Who then is the faithful and wise servant?" Who is the faithful and wise servant? Is that us? Is that his children, his sons of God, his daughters of God? We must stay faithful and wise, whom the master has put in charge of the servants and his household. What is the household? Is that the church that we live in? Is that the world that we live in? To give them food at their proper time. So that, see, the food could be us, right, feeding the word to the people outside. It could be taking care and keeping each of our brothers and sisters accountable. What's the food that we're meant to be feeding at the proper time? It will be good for the servant whose master finds him doing so when he returns. See, what's the opposite of being ready and vigilant and keeping watch? That's complacency. You know what? Complacency is not being really on top of things and not really paying attention and not taking care of the relationship that you have with God or where you are spiritually in your life. It'd be good for you to be on top of those things and be keeping watch over your spiritual relationship with God or where you are spiritually in your life, so that when Jesus comes back, he says, "You good and faithful servant." Not, you're getting through to heaven by the skin of your teeth here. You know, when a funny quote came into my mind when I read this, because I felt like all these different signs and different things that were laid out in before this, all this should give us a new hope. And then there's a quote from The New Hope. I don't know if anyone's a Star Wars fan in here. There's a quote from The New Hope where Darth Vader says, your lack of faith is disturbing. You don't want your lack of faith to be disturbing. You want to be vigilant. But truly I tell you, he will put him in charge of all his possessions. See, there's a recurring theme in the Bible that if you are a good faithful servant, Jesus will reward you with much. He may give you little in your life sometimes, but he will reward you with much in not only this life, but the life after. But suppose the servant is wicked and says to himself, my master is staying away for a long time. And he then begins to beat his fellow servants and eat and drink with drunkards. See, that's complacency, isn't it? That's not being, that's saying, I know Jesus is coming back, but I don't know when, and it doesn't really matter right now. I've got other things going on. I can read my Bible every now and again, but I'm not really that bothered about when he comes back. That's not living the life that Jesus really is calling you to do in this chapter. He's saying, be vigilant, be watchful, you know, expect me to come back any day. And that's the opposite of, you know, you want to be not this servant and not don't want to be complacent. Because complacency can lead to you slipping in different places in your life, you know. Falling short of certain things and not addressing these different places in your life. I mean, this servant really messed up. He was started beating his other servants, eating and drinking with drunkards. But then the master came back on a day that he did not expect. So the master of the servant will come on a day when he does not expect him and on an hour he's not aware of. When I was saying that you need to be ready and these different, you know, deadlines that I had in my other life, imagine if you had a test or someone said they're going to come and assess you on a day, but you know, they're not going to tell you what day. You know, you're going to be wanting to be on top of your stuff before they come and just knock on your door and ask you to be ready. And it's obvious by the next verse that Jesus really dislikes complacency. You know, you slipping away in this way. He says, he will cut him into pieces and assign him to a place with hypocrites where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. God despises complacency because it leads you astray and sends you to hell. If you knew the deadline, what would you do? So, what is readiness? What is keeping watch? Now, I don't want you guys to get mistaken and think that you need to be doing certain things in like specifically in your life in order to like be, I don't know, serving God in a certain way. Because we all know, you know, amen, that we are saved by grace. Yeah? But it doesn't mean that you say, oh, I'm saved by grace, and I can just live the life I'm living because whatever life I want to live because, you know, I'm saved already. I mean, in this passage, the servant was a servant of the master, but then he slipped away and wasn't doing what, you know, he was called to do. Am I correct? Yeah, so let's not be that servant, you know. Let's make sure that we're on top of what God has called us to do. The questions I have for you is, do you put off, thinking about your own life, do you put off the thought of Jesus coming back? Is it something that's in the back of your mind, but you don't really pay attention to it? You don't really think of it on your day-to-day? You don't think, I should be on top of this because Jesus has come back, and I don't really know when he's coming back, so I should really be on top of this? Or are you falling into complacency in certain places in your life? Do you live as he could come back in any day? Now, how could we live like that? How could we live with readiness and keeping watch? I'm going to give you three different points. One is reading scripture. We all know that reading scripture on the daily can really highlight different things in our life. You know, allowing the Holy Spirit while we read the scripture, read the word, to point out different places in our life where we are falling back, where we're slipping, where we read this parable and we're like, you know what, I'm sounding like this one, not the good one, you know. I mean, Proverbs is really good for that. I remember reading Proverbs for the first time and being like, "Wow, this book is written at me." Do you know what I mean? Maintaining our prayer life with God. Maintaining our relationship with God. I mean, He is our Father, right? So if He's our Father, we must be in a relationship with Him and maintaining that relationship. Not being like, He's my Father and He's got my back, and I'm just going to go do this, and I'll come to Him when I'm ready. Do you know what I mean? He's not our spare wheel; He's our steering wheel. You know. And living a holy life is another way that we should, you know, be ready. Not just hearing the word, but doing it. You know, serving the. Not only the church, but other people out in our day-to-day lives. Showing them who God is through our own actions, bearing fruit to the world. So they're the three points of how we can stay ready and vigilant in our life. Through reading the scripture, praying, and serving. I really hope that through reading this, and hopefully I can come back and I can do the rest of do 25 and the three parables in 25, but that we really think about our lives and where are we ready in thinking about Jesus coming, is coming back, and where are we complacent in our relationship with Him. Yeah? So let's have a closing prayer. Let's bow our heads and pray. Dear Lord, I thank You so much for this opportunity, Lord, to preach Your word, Father, that You've gone through so much trouble to bring us this Bible, and every single conversation that You had with Your disciples, Lord, that we have something to take back with it, with everything that You did, Lord, that we have something to take back from it, Father. Lord, I know that we have our eyes open to the crazy things that are going on in this world, Lord, and we pray that all of these things are resolved through peace, Lord. But I pray that we also open our spiritual eyes, Father, that we are aware of the different places in our life that we are faithful, but also that we are complacent, Lord, that You highlight these things in our life, and that we take a posture of readiness, Lord, that we're by the window watching, Father, for Your return. Lord, we know that the adversary is out like a roaring lion waiting to devour us when we are weak, Father. So I pray that we strengthen ourselves in different places, Lord, that we know that we are falling short on or weak at, and that You strengthen us in these different times of hardship, Father, that we not fall into different things because we find things hard, Lord, and we lean on You in these different times of our lives. Lord, I thank You for Your promise of coming back, Father. Lord, that you promised us that You are coming back to take Your children to a place where there is no suffering, Lord, where there's no weeping, where there's no disease, no war. Father, we thank You for this, Lord, that You promised this to us, and that we are saved not by the things that we do, Lord, but by Your grace. Lord, I pray that we bear fruit to the world, Lord, that we can show to the different people that we encounter on our day to day that there's something different in us, and that's the Holy Spirit, Father. That they can see that, and they would want a piece of it, Lord, so that they can lean in and want to learn more about You, Father. I know that we have this Alpha course, Lord, but I know that, you know, that we have this opportunity to bring more people to You, Father, and we thank You for that, Lord, as well. Lord, yes, I just pray for readiness in each one of us. Lord, let us be the servant that You, when You come back, You say, "You good and faithful servant." I thank you for every single one of us in this room. And I pray that each one of us has taken something from the scripture today. In your mighty name we pray. Amen.